It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Penn Hills School District could face a criminal inquiry after an audit showed how it racked up nearly $19 million in debt. The 74-page review covered the period of July 2012 through June 2015. The findings surprised many in the district, even though its former business manager says he warned that this was coming. And now there are many questions. I'm joined now by phone by Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale. Mr. DePasquale, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
We invited a representative or representatives from the Penn Hills School District to join us, but we were told that none was available. Superintendent Nancy Hines, who became Penn Hills' top school administrator last July 1st, said that the district, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, she said that the district has already made changes and, quote, remains hopeful but extremely cautious, end quote. If you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, the audit released last week highlights a precarious financial situation that the Penn Hills School District finds itself in. How bad is it?
It's as bad as we've seen, at least for a district that has what should be much better financial situation than some other districts. The amount of debt that they went from what was really a manageable amount to almost insurmountable happened in a period of 4 years, mainly because they did a $135 million bond issue for a building plan with no plan to repay it. There were other factors that might have been more shocking in sort of if you were making a movie out of this with how they handled their bus contract and some of their issues with their bus drivers and how they handled cash after football games. But financially speaking, the biggest mistake they made was a $135 million building plan with no plan to repay it. So now they are looking at over $170 million in debt.
You would think that this would have raised a red flag. Well, why wouldn't someone have questioned this?
Yeah, it's a great question. We went back to minutes. We tried to see where any red flags would have been raised. We didn't see any. Clearly, there was an architect's report and private audits that had started to raise this, but the district either just didn't want to hear it or buried it, one or the other. But there were some warning signs from the private sector on this, but either the board, the staff, or the leadership of the district just didn't want to hear it, or they chose not to hear it.
One of the things that came up that might raise some eyebrows here is the lack of control over the use of district credit cards.
Yes.
This is something that, every household learns, hopefully, to manage their credit. You would think that a school district would be keeping a tight rein on the credit cards that they're handing out. How did this get so out of control?
We've never seen a district like this that had really gotten to where you're talking about two dozen cards. When we do our audits, we understand that districts will want to have a credit card for a host of reasons, but that should be closely monitored. One card, that is what we recommend, and with multiple people having to sign off on this. This got to where they're talking about over two dozen cards, and there was no tracking system for this. How it got to that point, again, it's anybody's guess. We put a lot of that blame in our audit on the former superintendent and the former business manager and the lack of appropriate oversight from the school board. It literally have not seen anywhere where you had more than a handful of cards in the district, and this was over two dozen.
Now, the former business manager in Penn Hills of the Penn Hills School District, Richard Liberto, has said that he tried to warn the board of this financial mismanagement, but that the board did not listen. How much do you think this contributed to the problems that the district is facing?
Let's put it this. There's one of two possibilities here. One is he's telling the truth. The other, he isn't. Let's just assume for a second that he's telling the truth. How bad was it if the business manager is trying to make the school board aware of crushing financial debt and they don't want to hear it? I mean, that that is almost staggering when you sit down and try to imagine a scenario where the business manager is trying to convince the board that they have to take action for this type of debt. If the board wasn't listening, that's almost beyond imagination. So that's assuming he was telling the truth. If he's lying, obviously that's a whole separate discussion. But the part that we find the biggest criticism with, it would be irrelevant if he was telling the truth or not. It was them making this decision in the first place without any credible plan to pay it back over the long haul. That is where our biggest concern is. If you're going to go in this direction, you have to have a plan to pay it back, and they had none. And that is on both, in our view, the former superintendent, the former business manager, and the school board.
And while we don't know yet if Mr. Liberto is at fault, it depends on whether, as you say, working through the process, we find out or learn that he's telling the truth or not. But it is interesting to note that he is now working in the same position in the Wilkinsburg School District. The Wilkinsburg School Board president told the Post-Gazette in the same article I referenced earlier that the board works closely with Mr. Liberto on all aspects of budget and finance, and we've seen progress and certainly nothing to give us any cause for concern. So the fact that this man has moved on to another school district and is doing work that has gone unquestioned and apparently is impeccable, what does that tell us?
Well, from an auditing perspective, you know, we keep in our own independent judgment. So there'll be a time when we audit Wilkinsburg and we'll make our own determination on the quality of the work. Having said that, it is at least encouraging if the school board member and the business manager are working that closely together. We hope that's the case. And so you would have to wonder if that's being accurate. Is there something Mr. Liberto is doing differently in his role now in Wilkinsburg that he wasn't doing in Penn Hills, or was it on the board? That's where, you know, we can't speak to where that breakdown or perhaps a different, you know, strategy taken by Mr. Liberto in his new position. We don't know that. All we do know is there was a complete breakdown in Penn Hills.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking by phone with Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, who has been looking into the situation in the Penn Hills School District. An audit has showed that it has racked up a tremendous amount of debt, $19 million just in a two-year period, and with other money owed, a total of $170 million whole facing the people keeping track of the Penn Hills School District budget. Again, if you have a question, if you're wondering about some of the aspects of this situation, certainly Mr. DePasquale is doing a great job of outlining it for us. But if you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 in the time that we have remaining. Mr. DePasquale, how concerned are you about possible lawbreaking here?
I'm very concerned. And there's probably two areas where that would be most concerning, at least for myself. One is that about $22,000 per year unaccounted for in cash receipts from high school sporting events. You know, this would be basketball, wrestling, football. And as people know, if you've ever been to a high school sporting event, you know it's not like going to a pirate game where you're going online and paying with a credit card if you're buying a ticket. This is where most people are. It's $5, a couple bucks for a student with an ID card. So it's almost all a cash transaction. $22,000 per year during the audit unaccounted for. And their system of keeping the money safe was just putting it in the high school locker room over the weekend. So we're very concerned about that. And what happened with the school bus contract was literally the company that they had the contract with was able to get access to the school district fuel pumps. And they were using that to then fuel their entire fleet for other districts. Private cars were even getting refueled there. And then when the district became concerned about this, they set up cameras, security cameras, to monitor it. And then the bus company found a way, at least in our view, to unplug the security cameras. Both of those issues, we feel are, at least from my own perspective, very concerning that we're put the possibility of illegal behavior. Now, when it comes to the bond issue, we don't have any evidence there, but we turned all the information over. It does make one wonder why there was a $135 million bond issue with no plan to repay it. But the other two are much more concerning from the idea of potential illegality. The other one is also the hardware store in Penn Hills, where anyone that had any sort of uniform, and that could literally be a ball cap that said Penn Hills, was allowed to go into this hardware store and basically buy anything they want and walk out of there, and the district taxpayers would pay for it.
And you would think, wouldn't you, that in a situation like this, somebody knows, probably a lot of people know something. They know what's going on. You know, they're getting these services, and it's not exactly above board, and there's kind of a wink right. and a nod, and you go ahead and get what you need or what you want. But wouldn't you think that someone would have spoken up? And how concerning is that everybody's sort of going along with this? They know what they can get away with, and nobody blows the whistle.
It's a great question. Maybe because so many people were part of it that nobody spoke up. I mean, yeah, it's mind. I mean, look, Penn Hills on one hand is a relatively large school district. And on the other hand, it's not Manhattan. So if there were that many people who had to go into this hardware store, and once the story gets out, you figure there'd be a lot of people there that could have blown the whistle on it that didn't. Time will tell how widespread that was. And certainly when you're talking about 24 credit cards, the issue with the bus company and that contract, again, is mind-boggling. And if there were that many people that knew about the cash with the sporting events, again, hard to imagine how that would have stayed a secret. So you just have to question how many people were aware of these decisions.
The audit lists numerous recommendations for improving the school district's financial situation. What are some of them?
Well, having tighter controls on cash, renegotiating the bus contract, putting that out to bid, certainly taking the credit card down to one, and having multiple people have to sign off on this, having a much more secure process for securing cash, working with the state and the local legislative delegation, and obviously the board members and the taxpayers and the parents of the district to come up with a credible plan to repay the money, and certainly working with the teachers as well. So those are all steps that we think need to happen immediately. We do think that the new superintendent, we have seen evidence that she is working to put some of these changes in place, but it is going to be a bumpy road, and it is going to take a long time.
What effect do you see this having on the students? What will the students feel as the district tries to repair itself?
I'm very concerned about that. Look, I grew up in Pittsburgh, you know, went to Central Catholic. You know, Penn Hills always had a great reputation, you know, one of our rivals in sports and all that, all the other things. You know, certainly a very proud tradition, and I'm hopeful that it's going to get back to that again. But when they're working on repaying some of this debt, that's money that's not going to be able to go to the classroom. And so hard to imagine that there isn't going to be some impact felt for the kids, at least until this debt is put under control.
What are the implications of these issues in Penn Hills for other school districts in Western Pennsylvania?
It is a buyer's beware on anybody that's looking to do some massive bond issue on building reconstruction, that there is no such thing as a free lunch. You know, we all say that, you know, some of the, you know, you go into your office or your locker room or wherever it is, and there's that, you know, line, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, this is an example that if you're going to actually go to borrow that type of money to repair your infrastructure, and by the way, depending on circumstances, some borrowing may be necessary to repair infrastructure of a district. The money is going to have to be repaid. So before you borrow, you have to make sure you have a credible plan to repay it. That is item number one. Number two, when it comes to actual, you know, credit cards, spending of a district, tighter controls are necessary for any district. So, yes, the money spent at the hardware store is not equal to the $170 million that's owed. But all money that's wasted is taken out of what could go to the classroom. So whether it's a smaller amount or a large amount, tighter controls on the money. But broadly speaking, the lesson for all Pennsylvania districts should be, if you're going to borrow a significant amount of money to repair your infrastructure, even if that's necessary, you better have a plan to repay that before you go out and borrow the money.
Don't borrow $130 million for capital improvements without a plan to pay it back.
Think about it. If you're just looking to buy a new home or refinance your own home, you would have a plan to make sure that you can make your monthly payments, or the bank's not going to borrow the money or loan you the money. Same thing applies to a school district.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to Linda in South Hills with a question. Hi, Linda. You are on with...
I love your show. I'd like to ask the Auditor General, given the gross irresponsibility and lack of fiduciary duty of the Penn Hills School Board and many other school boards in the Pittsburgh area where oversight really is minimal by the media who have bigger stories to cover, does he support a school board recall law in the state of Pennsylvania?
If there was ever a reason to support a recall law, this would be one. And what the caller raises is actually an important issue. And this is I have a concern about this all over the country, not just in the Pittsburgh area. As you know, newspapers continue to have less reporters. Sometimes your community newspaper staff have been decimated just because of the trends of the economy and how things are working. You know, people will always cover the president. They'll always cover the Pentagon and the Congress. But some of the things that don't get covered much are your local school boards and local municipalities. So finding different ways to be able to hold them accountable is critical. And perhaps a recall election would be one of them. And certainly, if there's ever a school board that has earned the dubious right to be recalled or at least face a recall election, it would be what happened in Penn Hills.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for that phone call. Do you think that this is a result of neglect by the district or having people in positions that they are underqualified for? You know, clearly some mistakes were made here and people knew more than apparently they were willing to let on to or willing to admit to. But at the same time, how much of this is just gross incompetence?
I'd have to say yes and yes. The school district should have been asking a lot significantly harder questions before they signed off on the borrowing. But on the same token, the professional staff should have had a plan in place to present to the board. So they're both at fault here.
So going forward, as we sum up this conversation, what are the lessons that we need to learn? What are the things that need to happen going forward? And will there be, how much do you expect criminal charges to come out of this?
I'll start on what I think the lessons are. First of all, people should be, and I would say this not in an ideological sense, but the small c conservative on borrowing. Only do it when you need it, but sometimes it's going to be necessary, and it should be fiscally prudent, and you should be using it for what is necessary, and then you should have a long-term plan to repay that. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to district spending, there needs to be tighter controls on credit cards and the ability to spend district money and make sure multiple people have to sign off on it before the spending takes place. Number three, school bus contracts. Every district should bid it and closely scrutinize the contractual obligations of both sides before signing off on it and making sure that the contract is kept by both sides and having rule tools in the contract, especially if the private bus company doesn't keep their end of the bargain. So those are some of the lessons that I believe moving forward. Do I think criminal charges are possible? I'm going to leave that to the legal authorities, the district attorney and the U.S. Attorney's Office, but I would not be shocked if some criminal charges come out of this.
We have been talking by phone with Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale, talking about the situation in Penn Hills, where the Penn Hills School District could face a criminal inquiry after an audit showed it racked up nearly $19 million in debt. And if you add that figure of $130 million for the capital improvements that was borrowed without a plan to pay it back, then you're looking at a figure close to $170 million. Obviously, something that should concern all of the citizens of Pennsylvania. Mr. DePasquale, thank you so much for being with us to talk about this. We appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for paying attention to this important issue. I really appreciate it.
That's our job. Thank you, sir. Coming up, civil rights leader and Georgia Congressman John Lewis was presented with an honorary doctoral degree over the weekend by Washington and Jefferson College. He'll talk with us about growing up as the son of sharecroppers and working alongside Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. by the time he was just 23 years old. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We'll be right back.